still in Ward 2?
Lovett Sechrist, I'm in Ward 1. Ward 1.
Diane Benjamin, Ward 3.
Opening the round. Do you have anything you'd like to share? Anything you'd like to share in the opening round?
No. Not much. Okay. No, I just have kind of been, I think, are a couple of interesting extracurriculars with my job. Early part of this week, I was at the American Society of Healthcare Engineering Conference in Indianapolis. And so that was interesting, learning about what's going on to keep everybody safe and healthy through our healthcare facilities. And then next week, I'll run off to Michigan for a day and have a regional sustainability meeting with my team members. So I'm going to get about 25 people together in Michigan to talk about, again, healthcare green practices, which is my day job. So that's what I've been up to.
Good. I'll pass.
Okay. So I'll take a moment now to review the minutes from our last meeting.
Just as a note, we did not take formal notes from the July meeting because we didn't have a quorum, so it was an informal meeting that was not recorded.
I just have one suggestion on opening round, something that I said, and I might not have said it as clearly as I should have for posterity, but it's not... I think to call it the Paris Accord gives it short shrift. It's actually called the Paris Agreement and blah, 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 blah on climate, blah, 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 blah. So if you look what journalists are doing, they're calling it Paris with a capital P and then lowercase climate agreement. But I think as long as the word climate is in there somewhere, otherwise, you know, I don't think it's very descriptive to just call it the Paris Accord. So that would be my only suggestion.
And it was signed in what year?
2015.
Okay. So all in favor? I'm not through yet. I could have another minute.
We don't have a quorum.
We're going to hold off on that.
We'll hold out until next time. Okay, so then we'll just move directly into the special presentations phase of the meeting. First up, we have Paul Boyer to talk about the Kingsley Walk site development.
And you actually get Dave Mastin instead of Paul Boyer.
How do you spell your last name?
It's M-A-S-T-I-N.
Great.
So we're the architects for the project. Paul's the civil engineer, so he's the one who submitted things.
Mm-hmm.
So you ready?
All ready. Yep.
I'll just walk you through. This is what we gave to our preliminary meeting with the P&Z folks. So let's see here if I can make this work. So Kingston Walk Development is the owner. We're the architects, all lawyers, civil engineering design consultants for St. Louis Design Alliance. There's the site. So that's where the The site's pretty much all covered right now with paving and a little bit of building. I don't know if you've been around your city long enough to know that's where the Southwestern Bell folks parked. And it was Southwestern Bell. So we're working on an infill site.
I'm sorry, can you orient us to the streets? It's really hard to read any of that text.
Okay, that is Vernon across the top there, top of the yellow, and that's Kingsland. B. Ranchito's off to the left. Vernon's Barbecue is catty corner from us. And then there's the early childhood facility next door to us on the east side. Does that help?
Thank you.
The Pink Pig is there on the corner when he's waving his sign. So.
And I have one other question, and I really apologize. I might have missed something, but it would help me to know the context of why we are being presented with this today. Is there something in particular you wanted the Green Practices Commission to listen for or be attentive to?
Well, Ray Lai suggested that we come visit with you all and show you what we're doing.
Okay.
Make you aware of what's happening.
Okay.
See what thoughts you might have
for us. Thank you. I appreciate that.
If I may just explain
sure,
a little bit. This petition went to the Planning Commission on July the 26th. As part of the discussion, what the Planning Commission, a few members of the Planning Commission suggested that this be presented to you as this was actually, this site was part of a larger site from a few years ago. And it was for a different type of use. It was for mixed use. And at that time, it included the two parcels to the south of this. And the Green Practices Commission actually did review and make suggestions on that proposal. It was for apartments retail with some work-lived units. And this is a smaller site than this, and as particularly the chair person of Planning Commission, who was on the Planning Commission, recall this, and you know that there was some communications and working relations suggestions by the Planning Commission, and actually that was adopted or included in the resolution that was passed by the City Council. And so it just want bring that to your attention, and granted it's a smaller site with a different use, but given the importance of sustainability to your city, and Planning Commission suggests this also, you look at it and see if you might have some suggestions. Planning Commission will take this case back up to their next meeting, which will be on the 2 weeks from yesterday, the last Wednesday of the month, as they will be reviewing the wind demand plan. The July meeting was more like optional work session to provide some initial feedback. So that's why Mr. Maston is here. We need to hear your feedback, and I'm really here to answer the questions regarding the process.
Okay, great. Thank you.
If I may, Diane, I don't recall, Diane, if you were on the commission. We did review several years ago the proposal for the apartments that were built in the Louvre.
Yeah, exactly.
So, just for all of our categories.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you like, I can really quickly point out that White Wolf system was included as part of that residential section of the complex back then. And then vertical greening shall be provided on the garage facade. And because there was, as part of that previous development, there was a garage, a multi-story garage as part of that.
And now all that's been
changed.
Restricted flat.
Yeah, so what we're proposing is an assisted living facility with some memory care. That's the property that we're on. that just kind of sets up for zoning, just kind of gives you a sense of, if you look down proposed developments, four stories, we have 49 assisted living beds, 19 memory care beds, about 19 maximum shift for the employees. So it's a it's a slot in the market that the owners feel like we can hit, or they can hit, and it's for middle income folks to be in there. So a lot of the things that are out are either available for low income or for folks that don't have to worry about where their next check's coming from. So upper end. And there's room for in between. Plus, there's just a dearth of modern buildings that are in this central corridor. There's really nothing in Central West End until you get out really to Ladue and 170, where the Gatesworth is. So there's not a lot in there. So they think we've got a good spot in the market to hit. And if I can do page down, that just, we don't need to get into all that. And that's a basic site plan for this. So the building's in yellow, parking's cleverly defined in gray, cars are multicolored apparently, and planting or green stuff is green, but most, there's very little yard that we have as part of this. That gets you a little better view of it. So to orient us, Vernon's across the top, Kingsland is on the left. And then there's a drive-in, and there's a drive-up canopy that you'll see when we get to the exterior views of this that is there on the inside corner. You can kind of see it. It's shaded a little bit differently, but let's move on. So that's the first floor, and you can see the blue arrow there. That's the front door coming in. So there's a certain part of the assisted living's in the blue, and then the rest of that is all public space sort of things. That's a typical floor across the upper floors. Well, that's the memory care section, and that's the third floor and the fourth floor. And not to bore you with the details, because that's not the purpose of our meeting, but that's kind of how the building lays out. And those are the details for the units themselves. So most of them are, this is a little bit different mix than the ones we typically work with. Normally we'll have more one-bedroom units and fewer studios, but in this case we're heavy on the studio side, and there's a couple of roommate units, but there's just a few of those, a couple of roommate units. So that's what we're suggesting for the outside. You see the canopy there in the front, and it's a brick base, pitched roof. Just a couple more views. This is what the pig's going to see, kind of, from the across the way.
What is the material above the brick?
We're looking at that as either stucco or ephes. You know what I mean by ephes?
Yes, I do.
And then that would be, as you're coming up Kingsland, that's kind of what you would be looking at. We don't have the building kind of penciled in there. That's to the property that WashU owns to the south. And that would be looking back, if you could even see that much. Again, the building for the child care facility is much closer. I mean, you'd have to pull that out of the way in order to get this kind of view of it, but that's just to give us an idea of what's going on.
So back to the building materials, is the roof just standard shingle? What are you proposing for roofing?
Yeah, it's going to be a composition shingle. So it's going to be some sort of fiberglass shingle. We're looking at a little bit darker roof. We think it fits with the neighborhood better. But we've used on other projects, we've used the cool shingles. They're okay. But that's a possibility.
When you say they're okay, what are your...
The color range is a bit of a stretch. They all kind of look washed out, sort of from our point of view. The other thing that, frankly, goes on for our climate, We used to do all the TPO, white roofs or light-colored roofs, and we probably would do that for little pieces of flat roof that we have there. But if you really talk to the roofing folks, our climate is great for white roofs in the summer, and it's not great for white roofs in the winter. We're really, the advantages that we would get from them as opposed to somebody in Texas is not anywhere near the same. So we're kind of mixed for that. So in terms of what we would do, we're not going to go for LEED certification and spend the money for the LEED, but in terms of the practices, we're going to be pretty close to being able to make it work. The one of the big things is that we're just building on an existing site. We don't have infrastructure that we need to bring to it. We just need to connect, right? We're going to have hard surfaces down below, and those are the folks that are the owners for this. They're in this for the long haul. They don't. There's advantages to them to being able to make the maintenance costs and the life cycle costs as low as possible. So there's real pluses for them.
So by that, you must be referring to the brick. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the brick would be a plus, and we would see the stucco, either we're doing stucco or doing the EIFS, and we're not sure which one, frankly, today. We might do either one. But those are long-term materials in our estimation, particularly since they're up higher. They're not in harm's way for anything. This is a suggested planting plan. This gives us the basics. So what we really have in mind here is that the paving is going to be pervious almost 100% for the site. And then we're looking at native plantings, a lot of grasses. Most everything's a bed except for down across the bottom there where the south elevation would be. It's only about 15 feet, but it's enough. That'll probably have a lawn there. On the right, what you see is a driveway. That's a service drive that comes back. On the far right, that's actually paving that comes through there, and that's where the kitchen serviced and the dumpster sits back there in the southeast corner.
So you're planning for the sanitation truck to pull in there and then back all the way down the side of the building?
Yep. We'll have to be careful with it. We'll have a bollard or two that'll be in there to make it work. But that's really, on a compact site like we have, that's really what we've got to choose from. If we pull it forward, we can. We might do that. We might not take it all the way back there, but it's going to be on that side. That's where we've got the space to put it. That's where it's out of the way. Nobody wants a smelly old dumpster out in the front.
So for your plantings and paving, what kind of stormwater management are you going to be required to do on site?
We're actually just a smidgen less than an acre. For all practical purposes, we're an acre. So that's sort of the threshold with MSD. Paul Boyer, if he were here, he's made initial approach to MSD. We don't know exactly where they're going to go with it. We doubt, because of the size of the parcel and given what's there now, that we're going to need to do detention. It's possible.
Okay.
We're right there next to the big tunnel that's underneath Vernon. That's what we have in mind to do. Street trees are species that we've taken that off of the U City's tree list that's approved. So that's where we're headed with that. And then on the inside, just to kind of give you a little more feel for what we're describing, so we had a couple of different versions. We're thinking about maybe doing stone on the bottom as opposed to brick. You have an opinion? Green board? This is our informal poll.
Right.
We're of mixed minds of this, too, in the office.
So is either one a local? Are they either one sourced locally?
The brick's most likely going to come within about, they'll be less than 500 miles. There's not nobody makes brick much anymore. Richards used to, and then they kind of quit making brick. So does it come from Indianapolis or Oklahoma?
Okay.
Probably.
Uh-huh. And then what about the stone?
The stone, probably about the same.
So regional.
Yeah. It's possible some of that might come from Texas, which would put it beyond.
Mm-hmm. Beyond that, you know, the durability, you've got that covered.
I wonder a little bit how the residential typologies for memory care might translate over to market housing in the event that the business itself changes, and how adaptable the building may be over the long term.
It's a pretty specific use that we're designing for. So if we go back, so those are the apartments. So it's a small one-bedroom. It would work fine. We do done a lot of senior housing, and that the one-beds are pretty common. That's pretty close to what those normally would be. The studios would be a tougher market to make happen. In addition to that, we've got some additional. We have public spaces that fill in for providing support services for the residents that you normally wouldn't have. So, for example, this is the memory care floor. And that box in the room in the lower right-hand corner, that's the kitchen. So there's actually a secondary kitchen, and that's not just because they need it up there for food preparation. It's really more for how they serve the residents, and not serve in terms of the food, but how they help them engage. So there'll be a lot of so the smells of food prep and actually doing the work and being out there. So there's actually a line that would be out in the front, and it'll be as much for the residents' benefit than it would be just for the convenience of the staff. So that's what we've got. It's a pretty specific use, I guess, to answer your question. That was probably way more information than what you wanted to hear.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I think ultimately answered the question. So presumably in 25 or 30 years, another management company dealing with memory care or elderly housing would come in and take over management, but could continue to use the building as designed.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's always evolving. So how this is, so what's going on now is nothing close to what happened, say, 40 years ago.
Right.
And what might happen 20 years from now, part of what's going on is that the technology that's available for helping residents age in place is improving so dramatically that it might be that a lot of things can happen at home. And who knows what the next... maybe walkers will go away and it'll be some electronic something or another. You'll be able to connect, go upstairs without having to have your wheelchair might do that for you. We don't know. But anyway, we've got elevators. We're good on those. The other thing I should mention on the lighting for both the exterior lighting and interior lighting is all going to be LED. And almost all the flooring is going to be a hard surface. It'll be a vinyl plank floor for most of it. The kitchens will be something. It'll be probably more set up for the wear and tear of the kitchen, so it'll probably be some sort of quarry tile or something.
So any like low flow toilets or gas appliances or what?
Ooh, gas appliances. We don't do gas appliances. Everything's you're setting up a potential disaster for folks to have exposed flames. So everything's electric, such as it. But there's really no cooking. All the cooking's really done for the residents.
Yeah, that's what
they
I was
come
thinking.
Down.
Yeah.
So we're kind of touching on energy efficiency. Fuel efficiency. What does your building design incorporate in terms of energy efficiency?
Well, the walls will be up at R20, and the glass is it's typically 5/8 inch insulated glass, low E, And then the attic is 38. That's where we'll be. What we typically do, probably the last 4 years or so, our exterior walls, we put in a 1-inch foam barrier first, so that helps us greatly with air infiltration. So we foam the first inch to 2 inches, and then we put bats in behind it. That sort of seems to hit a sweet spot for difference between what the differential between a full foam, which is going to be a lot more expensive than if we do some of each. So that's kind of where we've hit for that. But we get a large amount of benefit for that first inch or so.
And your heating and cooling system?
Well, in this case, it's all electric. The public spaces, we're going to have gas, water, heat. It'll be common.
But what type of an HVAC system?
Well, because of the apartments needing to be individually controlled and metered, and the controls for elderly residents really have to be very straightforward. And memory care, it's a whole different. They're not even going to have access to them. But it's electric heat for the apartments.
Your central building system, what is it? What are you planning?
Well, the central building system will be a combination of package units. So we call them a rooftop unit.
But you've got a pitched roof, so where
we do, but we don't on a couple of spots over by the kitchen is where we've got space to, let's go to the page down.
So you are going to use rooftop units.
Yeah, for those public spaces. And then we've got little spots on the ends where we'll put in small split systems to service the public corridors. There's some little spots here and there that we've got bases called out for that.
And then you'll have some kind of generator for if there's a power outage?
Yeah, there's a backup generator.
For the hallways and common areas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we'll have a few, so we'll have a couple of rooms that residents can come to, mm-hmm. whether it's really cold or really hot. Mm-hmm. They have a spot to be, but they won't be able to stay in their mm-hmm. apartments.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So how about in terms of water conservation? Anything like low-flow toilets or gray water reuse?
Gray water, no. Low-flow toilets, yeah.
Anything else in terms of water conservation, like with your kitchen area, your cooking area?
To be honest with you, we haven't delved into it that fully. We're still trying to get through our preliminary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you said it would be all but LEED, except it's not going to be LEED. Then, those are just the kinds of things that you consider.
We've done several apartments that have been, I guess for seniors, we've done three or four that have been, two were certified and two were sort of. We used one we're just finishing up in North County as LEED for homes. That's what we've done, and the construction is very similar mm-hmm. to where we're going with that. Mm-hmm. All the appliances will be Energy Star.
Mm-hmm. So we'd be incorporating construction waste management and site protection, those sorts of things, the pre-construction elements.
I haven't gotten that far. Just be.
Well, you're saying,
right.
Your firm's practices. If
yeah,
you say
typically,
that you're matching up to LEED, then that would incorporate all those elements. So, do you do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm not going to guarantee that we're going to incorporate them all because, not being the owner, I'm not in a position right now to speak for them for 100% of what needs to be because we
right.
haven't made a decision. With them, how far they
and so that pretty much demonstrates the benefit of using LEED. If you were going to have a LEED project, you would be doing all of those things.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Part of the issue with our site is that it's so cozy. Being able to, typically you're going to segregate.
Not necessarily. I think we're able to do single stream construction waste recycling in St. Louis.
So all the cardboard's going there?
I believe that there are waste management companies. I ought to get an update on that, because I was told a couple of years ago that you can accomplish single-stream construction waste for exactly that reason.
I'm trying to think what we're doing.
But, you know, that's a good question. I should get some current information on that. Mm-hmm.
So all these native plants are going to need to be watered. Are you going to build in an irrigation system? I mean, that's how... You know, it's where you could use your gray water, for example. Because these plants are going to survive unless somebody waters them.
Right. It's a pretty modest... Well, let's see. Let me go back to where that is. Let's go back to the last one. Typically, street trees we don't irrigate. And you can't see it from where we're seated, but we're using a lot of grasses in there, a lot of variety, dropsy, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so we're expecting those to not require a
But maybe after the first year.
Large quantity.
Yeah, you might have to do something the first year, but I assume you'd contract with some landscape company and they'd be responsible for replacing anything that didn't make it. I would like to... encourage looking at the cool shingles. The governor's climate commission, Governor Nixon's climate commission study that he had done just a couple years ago, I think they predicted that, you know, Missouri would have Texas weather by 2030, which has mainly implications for farming, is what that commission talked about, like things you can't plant in Texas now, you won't be able to, it'll be like that in Missouri, too hot for corn to pollinate, which is why you can't grow corn in Texas, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the thought that this isn't Texas and so it doesn't pay to have a cool roof is like, just wait a minute, and it might be, you know, Texas. Yeah. So what I noticed, I just put cool shingles on my home very recently. I mean, it's been a year. And I paid the exact same price for the cool shingle as
it's
I did for the other.
It's not a price difference.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you're saying it's an aesthetic issue for you.
Yeah, and so I was amazed at the... color choices that I could have.
Mm-hmm. It's improved. Like,
it
the
has
last
improved.
2 years.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just something you know to consider. And if you're willing to go up in price, then I mean, then you really can get some more color.
Mm-hmm.
Color.
In terms of the
choices.
Sidewalks. This may be more of how. So it's partially memory here, but also partially elder living.
Mm-hmm.
So are there special requirements or any changes that the city would need to make to sidewalks or crossings on the street in order to make it safer for people who are mobility challenged?
Well, I might want to defer that one to the planning expert. Here, but right now this
that'd be
you and the tie there, Ray. Pretty much, we're maintaining the existing patterns, so we're not interrupting that at all. Other than we got a couple of drive entrances that would have to be negotiated. If this were a larger site, we typically incorporate walking paths. The memory care folks actually have their own. Space, outdoor space. Yeah, that's the pergola that's over the top of that. We've got another pergola that shades the, although the shading requirements are lessened because we're on the east and the north side. But the folks up on the memory care couldn't take advantage of it, so we're giving them a pergola across the top. But on the plan, that would be the part on the very far right. You see the kind of straight lines going across there?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we want to try to get as much as we possibly can.
There are some native plants that you could take advantage of, like a trumpet creeper or something like that for the pergola,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
We would suggest that rather than something invasive honeysuckle or wisteria or bittersweet or something awful.
No, we don't want honeysuckle.
No,
of course not. Now, so our categories, we've talked about vegetation, we've talked about paving, we've talked about water, energy, building materials. What about your interior finish selections? Are you trying to avoid chemicals of concern? I work for a healthcare system, and
we're doing a lot
of work right now to try to pull chemicals of concern out of our products. So antimicrobials, flame retardants, PVCs, formaldehyde, BPA.
Exactly. It's all that off-gassing.
You know, anything that's considered.
The off-gassing?
VOCs. Yeah. So are you paying a focus on that?
Yeah, our standard spec is a low or no VOC paint. The cabinet boxes are important, but they'll probably still be it'll be a plywood box instead of a particle board box, but there's not, for a residential type cabinet, that's about what we're going to get. Most likely, at least what's in the budget right now, are solid surface. The kitchens are just minor. I mean, it's about 5-6 feet worth of. Got a little bit of a refrigerator and a sink and a couple of spots to put some dishes, and that's in a microwave. And that's
but, like, are you trying to specify floor finishes with no vinyl, no PVC? I think you said earlier that you
We're
going to
do vinyl. So we'll do it's a vinyl plank tile.
Right, so that has PVC in it, and that's considered a chemical of concern.
What is it you're using?
We use rubber floors. We use non-PVC flooring products. Trying to think which manufacturers we work with. I could get you information on that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. If you wanted to send it to me, I can get you a card here. You know, there's a little bit of difference. So I don't know if you're on the institutional side.
Hospitals.
Yeah. What might feel like something that's appropriate for a hospital room, it might not feel like that's what you'd like to have in your house.
Obviously.
So we need to juggle this. I'd say that the overriding concern is that we have something that feels very residential.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get an in-between product, we'd be interested.
Great. Yeah.
Here you go.
Find out what we've been specifying lately.
Rubber floor would be, at least the ones that we're familiar with, be pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's great for ORs, but I'm not sure if you want to use it in the house.
Well, there is
cork, you know, there's other types of cork.
Yeah, what's that? The name escapes me. It's very old-fashioned. I mean, it's not asphalt.
Linoleum,
that's it.
Yeah.
Which is natural and not toxic.
But I think there are some products on the market that kind of mimic what you're talking about. I'd be happy to follow up.
Sure.
I'm excited about the permeable paving. That's awesome.
That's good news.
Yeah.
In fact, if I may, I regret to point out earlier that actually that was one of the requirements, the permeable paving for the water surface parking area.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's getting a lot better, isn't it? The maintenance and quality is, I think, improving.
Yeah, it's still a challenge.
I mean, it has to be maintained.
Yeah, you get to give MSD an easement, and we get to pay them a fee for an annual vacuuming. And the jury's still out as to how long that'll be effective, I think. We'll see. But it works. I mean, it's there's not a drop of water that's on these surfaces.
So, is there going to be any Wi-Fi or internet connection or anything like that, like in the common rooms? Or
I don't know about Wi-Fi. That's really a management call. Typically, though, the what's called a wander guard. You know, so you'll have a pendant or a bracelet or something for the residents so that if they have an emergency, used to be there'd be a pull cord over on the wall by the toilet or something, and that's kind of gone by the wayside. So now you've got access, as long as you're wearing it. Sometimes it's dependent, kind of depends on the individual. But that's pretty much all wireless now. Typically, there's cable TV or the equivalent thereof. They'll be wired. So the residents, there's usually their own channel. Mm-hmm. That's part of it.
The only other things that I can think of, I'm sure everybody else still has further comments, but will you have any influence at all on the operations and the maintenance of the facility? Like, do they incorporate green cleaning? Are they going to have recycling?
Yeah.
You know, how will they operate the facility?
Mm-hmm. There's Arrow, A-R-R-O-W, just like that's something you'd shoot. They're the provider. They'll be the management company, and they've been at it for quite some time, so I'm assuming they have practices in place that they have been using, and I can't speak to it.
Right. I mean, that would definitely help the health of the residents.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, are they going to do their laundry for them, in terms of bed linens and towels? And
well, most of the residents, that would be the case, but we do have a couple of places where the residents can do their own laundry, mm-hmm. or we could come over and do it for Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe do a few things. So we have both capabilities. Some sort of, I guess we're informal here since you don't have a forum.
So we're an advisory commission, and it sounds like through our conversation, the things that we're recommending is most of what you're doing, a few things it sounds like are still under consideration, but the local and native planting, you know, making sure that those are well established, with irrigation. Recommending the cool roof option, interior finishes, avoiding chemicals of concern.
And I'll be
possible.
Looking for an email from you.
Yeah. And energy efficiency, those package rooftop units, or the Daycon, is that the type of product that you're talking about? Is that the product name? So they're the self-contained?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're pretty efficient, from what I know.
Mm-hmm.
What other recommendations were we talking about? Construction waste management, if that can be incorporated,
right.
That would be strongly recommended.
Okay.
Site protection during construction.
Locally sourcing trees.
Locally sourcing the trees.
Right now, no.
So we'll be typing up meeting notes, and we can provide those to you, Ray.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
There could be like by next Wednesday. Is that possible? Wednesday or Thursday next week?
Okay.
Wednesday, I think.
Nice to have this resource in our community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't really have much to say tonight. Jenny asked me to come in and just give like an update regarding the climate action plan and the greenhouse gas inventory. The last meeting, I did go over some of the ideas, and I'm pretty sure that all the council people got a digital copy. Today I tried to say, basically what I've gone through for the climate action plan is I went through today, as you can see, tried to actually make it more look formal. So that's the part of the process I'm in with regards to making sure the figures and the tables are numbered and, you know, the I's are crossed and the T's are dotted, that kind of thing. I tried to send it off to you guys, and I got something bumped back at about 4:15 saying that the file was too large, because I guess you're only allowed to send 20 megabyte or less, even though the thing is only 17 megabytes. So I might have to send it each, whatever, I'll figure that out.
Yeah, that's pretty huge.
Well, I could, like, print it as a black and white PDF, and that would, I don't know if you guys, if you want to do any editing, want to actually.
Does have Dropbox?
I have a jump drive on me, if you want to.
I don't have any technology on me.
I have Box through Washington.
Yeah, it went to a couple. That's why I couldn't just resend it, because like it came back and said this person didn't get it.
Yeah, that'll be way too big for me.
I did this at like 4:15. I emailed it at like 4:15. I had to leave and go pick up my kids, so like I didn't have time to like divide it into two files and send it. But like I said, if I made it a black and white PDF, because there's one map in there that probably pushed it.
If I can just get a copy, I can put it onto. I have a Box folder with unlimited storage.
Yeah, we'll
share it.
We can figure out. It may. I mean, it went to some people and it didn't go to others, and I didn't have time to like sit there and like see who it went to. So maybe you got it. I don't know.
I just get it.
Well, then I whatever.
On that point, something I don't know a whole lot about this, but so what we do at my work is we shrink it.
Yeah, I zipped it up, but then basically it came down to I didn't have time to do anything with it because I had to leave and go pick up my children. Yeah, I mean, I did zip it up, which made it a lot smaller.
Okay.
But I didn't want to resend it to everybody because half people already got it. And it was just, it started to be a hot mess, and I don't like cold messes, let alone hot messes. So that's where I am with regard to the climate, the mitigation and the adaptation part is the sort of incorporating the very last edits, making sure that it kind of flows, and that if I'm referring in the writing to figure 20, that figure 20 is the one I'm actually wanting to refer to. So that's the easy stuff. My hope this weekend is to have some time to sit down and do that with the greenhouse gas inventory and make it look all official and shiny and then be done with this. I don't know what the next step is with regards to does it go through the USGBC before they stamp it, or does Jenny need to stamp something? I don't know what the rest of it is. I did send it to Emily Andrews at USGBC, but that was again at 4:15, and I doubt she had the time to read a 40-page document.
Yeah, I'm sure you just have to check in with Emily and Jenny to complete your engagement.
Yeah, technically the funding has run out for this, but I'm going to go ahead and finish this up, especially if I'm in the parts that just require editing. I don't have to start teaching again for 2 weeks. So
I had a couple of suggestions or questions or whatever you want to call it. This doesn't. My copy doesn't have any page numbers on it, so maybe I'll just count. But are you ready for those?
Ready for notes, you said?
Yeah, not those, my comments or whatever.
Sure, I got it.
Okay, so this is called Climate Action Plan, and under the demographic summary, in the last sentence of the second paragraph, it says, the majority of the households south of Del Mar report blah, blah, blah percent, and then the majority of households north of Olive report blah, blah, blah percent.
Hours per year, is that?
Hmm?
Is that referring to the kilowatt hour consumption?
No. It's demographic summary. It's on my first page.
Right.
It's the second paragraph, and it's talking about the peak, the population, the racial mix of people. And it says 100% white in one section and 100% black in another section. So I went on East-West Gateway, you know, easy-looking map, based on the 2010 census, and looked at their dot map, like one dot is 100 people for roughly UCity. And first of all, I'm a white person. I filled out my census, and I live north of Olive. And I can name you 10 people off the top of my head who are white people who live north of Olive. So I'm not sure where that those statistics came from.
They actually came from the actual census website, not East-West Gateway.
Well, East-West Gateway was quoting the 2010 census.
Well, they've got... I actually pulled these from maps that actually have...
I looked at the maps, too.
Okay, and
it is not 100% white.
I didn't write that. I wrote the majority... Majority of the households report as being 100% white. So I'm a white person, my wife is a white person, both of our children are, so our household reports as 100% white. I also live in the Third Ward. This isn't saying the Third Ward is 100% white, it's saying the majority of the households in the Third Ward are reporting as 100%.
No, it's saying...
Well, the percentage is referring to the actual household.
I understand that. I think it would be helpful to say what that majority is. Like, is it 90-10? Is it 80-20? Is it 75-25? Is it 51? I mean, that's just what I'm trying to say.
It sounds like you're saying, Diane, is as you read it, as you skim it, that's the conclusion you're coming to.
Well, I think it's easily to misunderstand.
Yeah.
But I think it would be helpful. I mean, a majority, is too vague a term. It could be 51%, it could be 99%, and that's a majority. And when I look at those point dots, I mean, I'm kind of like you. I looked at this at like 4:15, and, you know, I left here, you know, and I didn't have time. But the point map that I looked at, I admit it was from East-West Gateway, but it was based on the 2010 census. And I could see that out of how many dots, and, you know, there were dots there that were of both, well, of three or four different races on either side of what looked to me was Olive. So I didn't have time to do the math, but I just think it's a sensitive point.
Well, one of the reasons I included that is because I feel that there, within this community, there's a sensitivity to most of the care and the resources head towards the First Ward and the Third Ward.
I couldn't agree
and
more.
So I wanted to acknowledge that there is a difference.
I completely agree.
And I also want to, because I think one of the intro to the demographic summary part, and other climate action plans don't have this much about the demographics of the city, is because it's important to say that not only are we diverse in terms of housing stock, but also in terms of socioeconomic status and, you know, racial, ethnic backgrounds.
I love it that you addressed it. I'm just saying, to me, the percent is more important at the majority instead of saying if the households are mixed race or not mixed race. That's all I'm saying.
I personally wouldn't have put 100% white. That's actually the terminology that comes from the census.
I totally get that. And I'm just making a comment.
I read a note to myself to go back and...
Yeah, and say, to me, it would be better said that 52% or 75% or whatever of the households south of Del Mar report as being majority white.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that.
That's all. Okay, and that I appreciate you're hearing me out on that. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, I thought we were going to talk about tree cover somewhere. And I can find it anywhere.
You may not have that.
Okay.
If you don't have an adaptation part, at the end of the cleanup. That's what I tried to send out.
Okay.
Okay, you have the beginning of the adaptation part. So you don't, all the tree cover and flash flood stuff is in the file, which is maybe on your way to you.
Okay.
Or something.
Okay.
So there's certainly some vegetation stuff that I worked on, as well as some cooling center stuff, which is what that starts.
Okay.
But I just didn't have a chance.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate that.
I finished that until two weeks ago, which was since the last.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Good.
Yep.
I just wanted to make sure I hadn't overlooked it, or there was some other.
No. For sure, that you have an incomplete adaptation.
Okay. Okay. Who knew? Thank you.
So yeah, once you get the digital document, one way or another, or maybe three or four different ways, maybe I'll drive them around to your various domiciles and just put them in the mailbox. Any suggestions? Like, if there's something that's unclear, like the sort of racial demographic thing, that would take all of 5 or 6 seconds to fix.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
That's sort of where I am with both this and the greenhouse gas inventory. The greenhouse gas inventory might actually not be as big, so I don't know if you guys got the most. I haven't touched it in a month or more. I don't know if you guys got a digital copy of that, but I can make sure that another one goes out, and it's free to hit send. So,
I think I only have a copy of
the climate action plan. Okay, I'll make sure that you guys
maybe send it again so it rises to the top.
Yeah, that's. I'll send it every day for
things
the next
pretty quickly.
On the hour, every hour. That's, there's not really any meat and potatoes with this. Just letting you guys know that I'm hopefully in my next Thursday with some outstanding sort of like confusions and things like that. Both of these documents should be moving out of my hands.
Great.
Yeah, so. And it reads very well. It's really good.
Nicely done.
All right.
Yeah.
One thing that I did do that I'm proud of, because it has colors, this is probably the thing that blew off the percentage points, was I went through and looked at all the parcels that border River De Pere for actually doing some like floodplain like mitigation. I was up in Iowa for the second time this summer, which is too many times to be in Iowa. But outside Dubuque is they just did like a sort of an urban area. They built like a floodplain park that has walkways and stuff. It's probably really common. I read an article in the newspaper about it while I was sitting on the farm, and it seemed like the layout and everything, I've since looked at it under Google Maps, looks very similar to sort of, you know, older homes that are single family homes that are all sort of on their own. And U-City and I talk about this in the full adaptation part, U-City or MSD own a lot of the actual parcels that border it. And so I thought that, especially with all of the business going on, with are they going to build giant poop tanks or not, this may not be where the poop would go. But it's certainly having like a green corridor that goes from Hema Park all the way to 82nd Street would be nice, especially the only things they'd have to buy is some vacant parcels, or if MSD was going to buy a with the Hafner Place apartments, whatever they're called. They're going to buy those anyways. That actually, there's a lot of space between here and there.
Yeah,
it would be nice to actually be able to put
I'm looking this up. It says B Branch Creek Restoration.
Yeah, that's the one that...
replacing 1 mile of storm sewer with a creek and floodplain that resembles the one that traversed the area 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. This project will be done by then, but I guess there's a stormwater task force thing that's starting up in a couple
Very
months.
Cool.
And I've actually taken like screen captures of the Bee Creek thing and tried to overlay it over this area to see like if you could just pick it up from there or just copy the plans and drop it there. Nothing is that easy, of course, but just even trying to compare like how wide they made it versus how.
Yeah.
So that would be a big project that I would personally like to see, because I live right off 82nd Street. It'd be nice to take a sort of greenway all the way to the pool.
The one I'm most familiar with is I think it's called either Brush Creek or Bush Creek or Blue Creek in downtown Kansas City near Country Club.
Brush Creek.
Brush Creek. Yeah. They did. Birch Creek, near Country Club Plaza in downtown Kansas City. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
The reason this jumped out, I'm sure there's like 100,000 examples of it. I don't, I'm a biologist. I'm not a freshwater riparian engineer. But, the idea of that, especially when there's some open land that's either commonly owned and maintained by the city. It wouldn't be like ripping down hundreds
exactly.
of houses.
Yeah, good thought,
Certainly would be something that, if the money was there,
might
be a somewhat solution to giant food tanks.
Well, and I think part of the issue, from what I understand, is like right now the cut banks are just so steep, and it's gone, almost like down to bedrock. And so what they do is they widen those out and flatten them out and, just make them grassy or whatever.
The website for the B branch or whatever, which I do mention in the full adaptation, there's lots of pictures and, it's actually, I think it's geared more towards normal folks and not the technicians or the people. And that's what sort of drew me to it, is the neighborhood looks very similar. It looks like they did a good job. Very proud of the fact that construction ended like 3 months early and $800,000 under budget.
Wow.
So, maybe that's just, the corn fed construction folks in Iowa. We could eat some more corn around here and do it too. Anyways, so that's probably the thing that's made it hard to send as I went through and made a nice public plan. We will try, you got it on your jump drive now, so.
And I'll distribute it and connect everyone. I can allow you to upload other files to that.
In like a Dropbox?
Yeah, it'll be on Box.
Is that a different type? I know Dropbox.
It's just another online sharing.
Okay.
Cloud. It'll be in the cloud.
Oh. All right. So any more suggestions, send them my way, one way or another. And I'll make sure you guys get the greenhouse gas inventory before I start doing some of these, putting in page numbers and stuff, just so you can make sure that it sounds good. Because if I have to add a paragraph, I have to change all page numbers. All right.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Have a good evening.
Sure.
I'll see you later.
Would you like to do a couple of comments? No, thanks. We will move along to new business then. Scheduled to talk a little bit about the Japan Word Studio. So we are wrapping up. My students have returned from Johannesburg. Our final review will be on August 18th with the public. Anyone's welcome to come at any point. I think we'll be running from about 9:30 a.m. until about 5:30 p.m. on the 18th.
Wow.
We'll have new incoming Master of Urban Design students also attendance, and the students sort of embrace different attributes of growing food in the city, right to public space in the city, with changing sidewalk, thinking about the future of public transportation, those types of things. So
where is this one?
This is at Washington University, it'll be in Steinberg Hall. So that's
I sent mine to Jenny. I sent my final draft to her just like a week or so ago, so she should have mine.
So I did make some updates to the energy section. So if I recall, this first page is essentially an overview that you can use any way you see fit. It's just an update of what we had before. It's a very general language that will fit into the executive summary or the overview or however we end up structuring the final document. Then if you go to page 2, we move specifically into energy. And most of this is what I had previously, so some overview, introduction language, definitions, why are we doing this, a little bit of history about University City. The bit that I have highlighted in red, I need to just fill in the date. Jenny provided me with the date for when we implemented the energy efficiency ordinance, and I just need to type that in. And so the 4 dot points are the highlights of the ordinance that we that the city council adopted. Then in 2016, we approved a PACE program and some highlights of that. Next section highlights the work that Tim is doing right now. So the greenhouse gas inventory and the forecast with the update that's going on right now, creating our climate action plan. Then the next page, setting out our goals. And these are the goals that we had agreed to previously, and then the associated action items. Again, if anyone has any comments or suggestions or additions, this is not final, so this is still open to change. And then below the horizontal line, additional resources, I went to the one STL sustainability plan page, and that's under the umbrella of East-West Gateway. So I put it kind of in reverse chronological order. This year, April of this year, there was a 2-day summit, and one goal was developed around energy and emissions, and that is to reduce greenhouse gases 28% by 2025 and 80% by 2050. And what I should do, actually what I need to add in here, I just remembered, I need to add that mayor's commitment. I think Shelley signed that mayor's commitment.
Yeah.
And what was that? Carbon neutral by 2050, if I recall.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I'll find that exact language.
Okay.
And add that in. Because there was an article about that today in the New York Times. It's a small item that a lot of mayors are signing this commitment, but they don't really have any kind of plan in place of how we're going to get there. Is it funded? Is it, you know, is there any action plan associated with that? So, you know, if we're going to sign this commitment, we need to make it actionable.
Yeah.
So back to the additional resources. So that one goal was set around energy and emissions, and their language was considerations. Oh, I could take out that rather up smart goals. It really doesn't fit in. We'll just take that out. Considerations, target audience, and next steps. So that was their language for all of those things. And then there's a toolkit on their webpage. I provided the link for that. And then going on to the final page, I went ahead and copied out most of the language that was in that toolkit so that people didn't have to follow the link necessarily. Now, I did not summarize, so if we want this to become shorter, I'm happy to edit. And so that will be our final document. How long or how short do we want this to be? How much information do we want to include? So this all came from there was one more page. There was also a 2013 document. Oh, okay, there is one more page. I picked up the wrong copy. Okay, very good. So page 1. Page 4 comes from the toolkit document, and then the final page reaches back to the regional plan that was published in December of 2013, and I provided the link for that. Again, there was one goal set there, and their language was, this all fell under the goal of efficient, or the theme of efficient, which shows up on page 112 of that document. And there were three goals that pertain, 1, 2, and 6, out of this category of efficient. And so the goals and then the strategies are all outlined there. And again, we can include this, we can summarize it, you know, whatever we think is appropriate. But I wanted to include all that backup information so that we had, we've had conversations that we want to align our goals in New City with what we're doing as a region.
Yeah, I think it's a great position. I think that it makes it, strong. And I think in the, you might want to bring that up at the beginning about how we are a small municipality, but you can try to generate to align with regional goals.
Okay.
That's how sustainable
it is. Okay, so
I
can include some language there.
Because I think it's such a fascinating thing that such a small city has dedicated so much energy and effort to defining what, how you proceed sustainably. I also like the addition of the additional resources. So I know when we talked about the document at the beginning, when we were thinking about how to retrofit it, that there was this question of how do you use the document? And so linking to those regional or additional resources, the regional national best practices. And the same thing would probably go with the water, wastewater as well.
Yeah, and the one I did, I mean, I made mine look like the first one, but and so I really limited what I could do. But if we decide we like this a little more expansive, then, you know, I would recommend that, you know, we go back and we make them all look parallel.
And some of this could go into an appendix, or not a glossary, but an appendix. If we don't want the main body to be so long, but we want to have those materials available.
Yeah, I think that this page, I think it's all probably important generally, but I would hew towards what you've already written as part of your own content.
Yeah.
Just because I think in an effort to keep it shorter, it's great to talk about what we have done already in the introduction laid out by this one. Although I do love Amber Rose.
I'm a big Amory Lovins fan myself.
I want to go work for him.
Yeah. He's creeping up there in years, though.
That's my goal.
He's probably creeping.
Yeah. Last time he was in St. Louis, he was looking a little worn.
Yeah, I heard him speak at the Danforth Center a few years ago. Were you there?
I probably was.
Yeah. So that's what I have. I'll make those couple of tweaks that we talked about. And I think once we shape up the final document, we'll probably go back and forth a little bit.
I think the board just have a starting point and then the Word files.
Yeah.
The group can start to compile.
No, I emailed mine to Jenny, and I brought it last meeting, but you weren't here, so I don't think I have an extra copy with me. I can look, but I don't think so.
How was it for my granting your permission report?
Well, I did want to add that I'm I'm concerned that this is the second meeting in a row that we haven't had a quorum, and that is not typical for this group. And so maybe a couple of us could discuss that.
Well, and adding on to that, our open spots are not being filled.
Yes.
We've got a little bit of gap right now with an acting city manager, and I don't know, do we have a city clerk?
Well, Loreed is the city manager secretary / city clerk, so she's doing two jobs right
now.
So
she's acting as
yeah.
well. So if we have any applications on file, we don't
we
know
do.
About them.
We do. We have Barbara Brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no action has been taken. We also have a gap with our council liaison.
Right.
Has he been moved on to
you? You need to talk to him. I have no idea.
Because last time I spoke with him, we emailed a few weeks ago, and he was asking who I had in mind for position on the commission. I mentioned Tim Dugan, so
yeah,
from the best of my knowledge, he is still our liaison.
But he doesn't attend. He doesn't attend our meetings, and he doesn't communicate with us. So that's not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, in all of my years of being on the first committee in the commission, we've never had that happen.
No. Mm-mm.
So
I can reach out to him to see if he can get any of the active applications filled.
Yeah. And he needs to communicate with you. If he's not able to come to the meetings, he at least needs to talk to you, give you council updates, and you know, take our information back to the council.
Yeah. And I think that might help with our attendance. I mean, I think people might be more compelled to come if they. If that was resource. Were available to us.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't feel real compelling.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, today, with the exception of you, Jonathan, the only two people who are here are the two people who've been term limited. I mean, you know, and we're holdovers from the previous, you know, whatever.
This is officially our last meeting.
Yes, but I mean, from here on. So we were asked if we would continue, and I'm willing to do that on a temporary basis, but only because I
we can probably stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Since we're finished with our official business.